Welcome to the Brick Built Podcast, your hub for LEGO information, rankings, and more.
I'm Mickey, and that's Ohm, and today we're going to be talking about LEGO collectible minifigures, also known as CMFs.
All right, so, I mean, how was your week? Anything interesting on your end?
Been the same as the last weeks. I mean, everything's kind of just been shut down again, so that's always fun, yeah. But not much really happening on my end. Anything interesting happening to you?
I have a lot. I think I kept some surprise. I can't remember if I texted you the other day.
Oh.
Or I kept it as a surprise, but I got two things. Oh. First thing, which is not a surprise to you, for the past almost a month now, I have been working using Bricklink Studio. There's the Bricklink plug for the day. On Bricklink Studio, I Bricklink the parts on Bricklink.
Just a side note, we are not partnered with Bricklink.
Yeah.
At all.
But basically, it's like LDD, LEGO Digital Designer, except it still exists and it's directly linked to Bricklink. So you can buy the parts you need from there. So, like 3.5 weeks and $75 later, I have before me, well, it's not physically.
Yeah. I know about this.
Yeah. A dark blue, gold, and gray Joker Notorious Lowrider. And yeah, so purple equals dark blue. Lime green equals gray. The seats are tan instead of white.
Nice.
And there are a few other minor changes. I added a roof. So it has a complete roof that can easily pop on and off. It is really fun and bouncy. And I'm glad I did it.
Yep, that's
and suspension. Second thing, this is a surprise to you. So for the viewers at home, one thing that you should know about me is I do not have a video game console. Video games are not my thing. However, I really like LEGO video games. And when I go over to Mickey's before all of this, we played LEGO video games for half the time. Yeah, so I got Steam, and then I got my first LEGO video game that's proper, not just for phone. LEGO DC Supervillains.
That one has a really good customizer.
Yes, it's basically you, for those who do not know, it's an original story by LEGO where you create your own DC supervillain. They grow and gain like all the powers in the game as you play 15 levels of main campaign, and there's 5 extra levels that come with it free for the Justice League. But you get to do a lot. I'm only 3 days in, 3 levels in, but it is awesome. And there's such a good open world. You have the entirety of Gotham City.
I mean, we're all waiting for LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga to give us literally the open galaxy.
However, I don't think it's going to be as nice. I may not even get it. The movies are a set plot. Here, they've made their own plot, so there's more opportunity for open world exploration here. So in between levels, where with the Star Wars one?
No, the Star Wars one is in between levels. You can do like one level, and it's really cool. Okay, sorry, this is going to be like a random segment in the middle of the show that has nothing to do with it.
LEGO video games!
We might eventually do a show about this, but LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga is going to be very interesting and revolutionary in the way that the planet's landscape and the worlds and the open world hubs of each of the planets are going to change depending on what movie you're currently playing. From what I know, there's going to be like on the pause menu, say, there's going to be a sliding thing that you can change between the 9 movies. So that changes the time period that you are currently playing in. Or there might be one where it's like Age of the Resistance, Age of the Empire, Age of the Republic, something like that. And depending on what time frame you're playing, the landscape of each of the different planets are going to change. There's going to be a lot of characters. From what I know, there's going to be like nearly 500 or something. Not all of them are going to be playable, but a ton of characters, nearly everyone that you can think of. And you can stop playing the episodes if you want. you can like play, for instance, each episode of the each movie consists of roughly 5 levels and some open world missions on the planets that you're on. But if you want to, you can play like episode chapter 1 of episode 1, The Phantom Menace, or and then you can go and skip over to like chapter 3 of Empire Strikes Back or something in the sequel trilogy. And you can just kind of hop around, or you can just give up and just give up on the levels and stop and just run around and do all the crazy open world missions. And then other things are going to be like, if you exit out of hyperspace above a planet and you like are in the space around the planet and then you can land on the planet. Say, for instance, you're flying an X-Wing and you're affiliated with the Rebellion and you exit out of hyperspace while you are currently playing in the, say, Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi time frame. Then all of a sudden, maybe, perhaps, an Imperial Star Destroyer may appear out of hyperspace and a squadron of TIE fighters may come out and you have to either accept the consequences of this giant ship coming to attack you and, like, go after them and try and defeat this ship, or you can land on the planet and do whatever else you want. So I think it's going to be really interesting. And
do you think that they'll actually be able to capture you rather than killing you?
That would be kind of interesting if they could capture you, and then, like, what if they captured you and then they held you in a detention cell, and then either they could have, like another group of Rebellion fighters come into the Star Destroyer and try and rescue you, and then like take you to a new ship perhaps. Or another thing is could be they could like drop you off on an Imperial, they could like drop you off on a different planet and you don't know where you are, you don't have a ship, you have to go find a ship. That could be interesting.
One thing they want in there is Palpatine's arrest level. And maybe going to the junkyard on Naboo, because that was something in the original trilogy they never did.
Yeah, the complete saga.
I want there to have Clone Wars. I want Clone Wars to be in there. At least
probably DLC.
I want at least a DLC with Rex and Ahsoka. I will buy it. I just want to play as Rex and Ahsoka. Preferably phase 2. And then run around in The Last Jedi and shoot Luke. Because he's
no offense, but I'm thinking that probably they're not going to get a Clone Wars DLC. Probably that's going to be the second or the third one. Because I'm thinking Mandalorian Season 2 or Season 1 is going to be the first DLC, because they're both... The Mandalorian Season 2 comes out sometime in October. We know that. Mid-October, late October, sometime. And the Skywalker Saga's release date was, like, it was accidentally said it was October 20th, but then they like retconned themselves and did not give us the date. So we know it's sometime around October, maybe into November because of all the delays. Maybe they put it earlier into September. So I'm thinking, since they release around the same time frame, and since the newer Lego games, their first DLCs have come out pretty close to the original game's release date, I'm thinking that it will probably be some sort of Mandalorian DLC, but...
They're probably going to do Mandalorian, Clone Wars, and Rebels DLC.
Don't forget Rogue One and Solo.
I don't want them to do Solo DLC.
Well, if they're going to do Rebels, then they're probably going to do Solo. No offense to the Rebels fans. I'm a Rebels fan, sort of. I haven't seen it in a while, but...
For me, the priority is Clone Wars. I probably won't even buy the game until they get a Clone Wars DLC in. Because all I want is, I want my Captain Rex, I want my Ahsoka, and then my Anakin and my Obi-Wan. Captain Rex, Ahsoka, Ventress, and then Clone Wars skins for the other major characters. So Anakin and Obi-Wan and Dooku. And Grievous could have a Clone Wars skin.
I don't want them, because then they'd have their giant weird eyes.
No, not that. I mean, what they'd be wearing.
The one with, like, the Clone Wars, like, armor, kind of?
Exactly. That's what I mean. Because, you know, that would make more sense.
Yeah. But another thing is, the Mandalorian is already technically part of the game, because of how the Razor Crest, the new Razor Crest set coming out in, whenever it's coming out. They keep changing it. The new Razor Crest set has a unlock code for the game, so it is most likely assumed that hopefully Baby Yoda's in the game. Hopefully Mando's in the game.
DLC.
I don't know. But yeah, if the Razor Crest's in the game, then we don't know.
Here's your Mandalorian, your Baby Yoda, your Cara Dune, and all the other IG-11 and all the other people. I'm not a huge Mandalorian fan, but I watched it.
Mm-hmm. I just hope that eventually they give us a set with Moff Gideon and a new Darksaber.
Yeah, a Darksaber that looks like just a one-off mold would be nice.
Like they could kind of rework the look of the katana.
Exactly.
They could just change.
They already reworked it, right? They kind of retired it,
mm-hmm.
almost, and they're replacing it with like a accessories pack, and they're making it buildable but breakable, which is not a good thing for a sword. Who else mm-hmm. did they not include? They haven't made from the Mandalorian.
Queel.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe they'll just put. Yeah, they'll probably put out a Queel set with Queel, IG-11, Baby,
Blurg.
Moff Gideon.
Need the Blurg
too, and then this like a scout speeder and a speeder bike, and then those characters.
Oh, those scout troopers were like. They're just. It's like just the first 2 minutes of the season finale is just where it's like this whole pent up energy. And there's just two scout troopers just chilling above a ridge, just like talking. That was interesting.
They will probably make that, and then they'll probably make a separate set, like $100, 500 piece TIE fighter with Moff Gideon, the Darksaber.
That'd be nice, especially with the folding wings.
Probably a Death Trooper, a Stormtrooper, and that old guy.
I would just want two Death. I would not. Oh, yeah, the client. Oh, yeah. Oh, and the doctor dude. What's his name? You know what I'm talking about? The doctor? Dr. Pershing. That's his name.
I don't remember that.
He's like the skittish guy who was hired by the client who hired Mando. And then they're like trying to do something to Baby Yoda.
That was the one episode I just did not understand what was happening for any minute of it.
It will all be answered in season 2 or 3, because apparently they're doing season 3 already.
Oh, man. I want a Clone Wars more than a Mandalorian. Sorry to all your Mando fans out there, but I am a prequels and especially Clone Wars fan through and through.
First of all, no offense to the Clone Wars fans. The only way I can see them bringing Clone Wars back, other than the new Bad Batch series, but I digress, would be to do some sort of thing like Season 6, The Lost Missions, or whatever they're called, where you just do little arcs from throughout the timeline. Because the whole story of the Clone Wars is over with Season 7, so... And it's kind of... kind of sad to admit this, but The Mandalorian has kind of been Disney's surefire hit within their acquisition of Lucasfilm with Star Wars. So they want to do as much with it as possible. And Clone Wars was just because it was a hit back then, and they kind of were like, hey, we don't really know what we're trying to do with this. Maybe we should... Number one, let Dave Filoni finish what he started. So
number one of making any Star Wars animated show, bring in Dave Filoni.
Yeah.
Rule number two, let Dave Filoni be Dave Filoni. Number three, give him the hat.
Oh, yeah. He needs that cowboy hat. Okay.
But
you think we should actually...
Real quick, Clone Wars... The one thing they'll probably, I hope they'll do, the only open part of Clone Wars, not Lost Missions, but kind of Clone Wars prequel, I doubt it'll happen, but that is the most obvious thing for me, because, right, you look at the movies, and then you look at Anakin, he has the scar, he has clone armor, all of this stuff, because the old Clone Wars series wasn't canon, right? We don't know what happened after Geonosis.
Mm.
Because Clone Wars bleeds into Revenge of the Sith, not into the Battle of Geonosis and all of Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, why are they wearing clone armor? It's a weird...
Well, because they don't want to be running around with just their robes.
But they do that later in the Clone Wars, right? After first two and a half, everything just goes dark.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about LEGO CMFs, LEGO Collectible Minifigures. Fun fact, they are not making, and they probably won't for a very long time, make Star Wars collectible minifigures. So everything we've just said...
Ooh, Hasbro.
Yeah, nah, I'm just like, I don't want a Star Wars... They've made, like, enough characters. Just give me a Clone Trooper CMF series.
Ooh. Please give us fives. Please give us fives.
Right, so every single figure you get, you could buy 200 figures, and even if you have dupes, you can use them.
You would never find them in stores because they would be empty and they would be devoid of the shelves.
Like Disney. But if they had Echo, they had Fives, they had the Bad Batch, they had Rex, Wolf.
I can literally name nearly an entire series just out of 501st Troopers.
Exactly. Well, they're probably not going to do all of them.
Well, I mean, Hardcase, Kix, Dogma, Jesse. Oh, give us Jesse. ARC Trooper, preferably, but,
Yeah, of course. They'll make him an ARC Trooper if they make him. I'm hoping we just get the 501st Y-Wing that has Jesse in it, and then Happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because with Jesse, right, you have the Jesse minifigure. You just swap out helmets. Hopefully, and then you can just have, you know, you can make a rough Fives and a rough Echo.
I think they might make a Marvel one because they made DC, so Marvel might be on the table eventually.
All right, Mickey, let's pause this because we're going to talk about what we want in the future at the end.
Oh.
So, all right, so let's talk about LEGO CMFs. Well, I'll cut that last conversation in.
Yay.
The end. LEGO CMFs are a series of minifigures in blind bags that they sell. You don't know what's in them. Prices have always been less than $5. And
until now.
They're still less than $5. They're $4.99 as of 2020.
Really?
It's an inexpensive way to get cool minifigures. And they're collectible. Usually there's 16 of them in a series. And LEGO still makes them. So let me just hop right into the info. They started in 2010. Usually there are 16 minifigures in a series, except there are 12 in Team GB, 18 in Disney Series 1 and 2, 20 minifigures in Ninjago Movie, LEGO Movie 2, Batman Movie Series 1 and 2. So basically that's all the...
Yeah. All the LEGO movies except for LEGO the movie. LEGO Movie.
And there are 22... It's the largest one in Harry Potter.
Now,
I want to add that I am not, in all of this data, I am accepting the Super Mario and Unikitty series because I consider them buildable figure series, not minifigure series.
Mm, technically, the Harry Potter series is, I mean, technically it is known as Harry Potter series, but it's more broad as the Wizarding World series because it also has Fantastic Beasts.
The Harry Potter, because it's majority of the minifigures are Harry Potter. Right?
Mm-hmm. Just a side note. So this is before the rumored slash not really rumored Harry Potter series 2 has been released slash revealed.
So do you want to give the prices?
Oh yes, I slaved on this. Actually, I didn't slave, but it was very hard to do this, okay? Series 1 and 2. The first two cost $2 each. Technically $1.99, but oh well. Series 3 through 11, Team Great Britain, Team GB, they're just like the Olympic team of Great Britain, United Kingdom, whatever you want to call it.
Not an Olympic series.
And the original LEGO Movie series were all $2.99, also known as $3 if you want to include 1 cent to make it nicer. And then series 12 through 19, the Simpsons series 1 and 2, the LEGO Ninjago movie series, the LEGO Batman movie series 1 and 2, the LEGO Movie 2, the second part series, DFB, or Deutschland Football, German football team, Harry Potter and Fantastic Beasts, Wizarding World, Series 1, the Disney Series 1 and 2, were all $3.99, also known as $4. And that was pretty much the norm for a very long time. Until recently, when the DC Super Heroes and Series 20 were both $5 or $4.99. Thank you very much.
So I think the DC superheroes are fine being the $5 because they're licensed. And on top of being licensed, they come with two extra pieces each, a jumper and a special new piece.
It comes with a jumper, and then it comes with a piece that makes it look like they're jumping.
Yeah.
Look at that, everyone.
Falling.
That's pretty cool stuff.
But what I don't like about Series 20 is some of the figures have that. That's what... Now, they have big accessories or brick-built accessories in that series.
Yeah.
So it kind of justifies it, but it doesn't really. To me, it feels unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
And quite annoying. But they can, and I'm still going to keep buying. So, I mean, heck, in 2 years, it'll probably be $10, and they'll have the Clone Trooper series. Probably 50 minifigures in the series. Hey, spend $500 minimum to get the whole series. All right, I'm going to cover the lines here. Got to take a deep breath. The lines released as of now, late July 2020. DC Super Heroes, the DFB series. Disney, Disney Series 2. Harry Potter and Fantastical Beasts. Series 1 minifigures. Series 2 minifigures. Series 3 minifigures. Series 4 minifigures. Series 5 minifigures. Series 6 minifigures. Series 7. And it goes up to 20 minifigures. Team GB, Team Great Britain. The Lego Batman Movie, The Lego Batman Movie 2, The Lego Movie, The Lego Movie 2, The Lego Ninjago Movie, The Simpsons Series 2, Unikitty, and Super Mario, if you're going to count those.
Good job, Home.
And I have it written down here. There are 33 unique minifigure series. And then there are also two brick-built. So there's
35. Blind Bag Series.
So the information that I'm about to say is for minifigure series only, not the brick-built ones, because they don't cover multiple licenses. There are 20 standard series, 5 licenses for Lego movies, and 8 other series. 4 of them are licenses Disney currently owns. 2 of them are Warner Brothers licenses. 2 of them are sports, which are Great Britain Olympics and German soccer. The licenses owned by Warner Brothers are DC and the Harry Potter Fantastic Beasts Wizarding World. The DC licenses, based on what I, you know, the individual hero universes, I'm counting as different licenses within the license. But basically, the sub-themes of the DC are Green Lantern, Batman, Flash, Cyborg, Wonder Woman, Superman, Aquaman, Stargirl, Justice League, and Huntress. And the villains are included in that as part of those. In terms of Harry Potter, that's just Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and the standard Harry Potter books / movies. In terms of Disney, so the licenses in the two Disney series we have are Incredibles, Toy Story, Classic Disney, so that's Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, etc. Aladdin, yeah. Little Mermaid, Alice in Wonderland, Maleficent, Sleeping Beauty, Lilo and Stitch, Peter Pan, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Hercules, Frozen, DuckTales, and Steamboat Willie. I'm sorry if I offended you by lumping some of your favorite characters together. I'm not a Disney buff or a huge Disney fan. I haven't watched
any movies.
However, I do want to mention that in Classic Disney, there were not a lot of figures in the CMF in terms of uniqueness. For example, we just got a Goofy. We've never gotten a Pluto.
Technically, a Pluto wouldn't be a figure. It'd be like a Scooby-Doo type thing.
Probably. And then the Lego ones are... So in the Batman movie line, they cover Batman, Superman, and the Justice League, and various villains that oppose the Justice League, Batman or Superman. And then the Lego movie covered the Lego movie / Lego movie 2, historical characters like Abraham Lincoln and the Wizard of Oz. That's self-explanatory.
May I inquire on a question? Because you said that there are 4 Disney licensed series, and those are the 2 Disney series. Were the other 2 the 2 Simpsons series, I believe, after the Fox acquisition?
Yes, it is.
Good to know.
because Simpsons didn't cover multiple. It was just the Simpsons TV show.
Wonderful.
Wow, that was a lot of information. Say thanks to Mickey and I, because that was not easy.
Nope. At least an hour of work.
Each.
Maybe two.
It would take a while.
I don't know.
Even if it only took an hour, though, it was a lot of effort in those hours, right?
Yep, lots of refreshing of pages,
crunching
pushing the back button, forward button.
Yes, so difficult. So we're discussing our most favorite series, least favorite series, and our favorite minifigure. The goal was to have your favorite minifigure not be from your favorite series. It's okay if it happened to be, but the goal was for your favorite series to be your favorite series, and your favorite minifigure just to be your favorite minifigure. So you didn't pick a series just because it has one minifigure in it. I just pick the ones I want the most. I would want the full series or totally not want the full series. And then my favorite minifigure, like if one just appeared, which one I'd be happiest. But Mickey, I know you have a different system. So do you want to...
Oh, I did some crazy ranking system. Okay, just a side note for all of our listeners. I tend to incredibly overthink things and it comes back to bite me. So the way that I did this is I went through the brick set, another plug for someone that does not sponsor us. We'll never have sponsors. Oh well, I don't really care. Went through the brick set pages for each of the series, and I gave a point for each minifigure in that series that I liked, and then I did it out of how many minifigures there were total in the series. And then what I did is I changed that ratio into a percentage. And then everything from 60% to 100%, it was in the running for my favorite series. And everything below 60% was in the running for my least favorite series. And then I just whittled it down until I had two.
Which ones were technically the worst? Like, by technical standpoint, what was the least percentage?
I actually think that there were a bunch that had the least percentage. They were all around 48, somewhere around there.
Quite good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But my highest was 88.
Ooh.
And it was funny because that was not my favorite.
Which one was it? Tell me.
It was Harry Potter because it just has It has a lot of figures that are good. It just was overall not my favorite. I don't know. I'm kind of weird.
I understand that. Anyway, your favorite fig?
And then my favorite figure, I just went through all of them and I made a giant list that spanned 5 pages of a Google Doc. And I very slowly got it to one. It's actually funny because the one that is my favorite, I actually own, and I didn't realize that it was my favorite until I'm actually thinking about it and how it is my favorite.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
You want to go first?
I'm going to go favorite? First.
Okay.
Because I think we should always have, because your number one is probably better. Yours are better because they're less licensed stuff.
Yes.
And mine is completely licensed, so it's not as cool and unique, but. It's true to me. So, my least favorite series, the Lego Ninjago movie. Mm-hmm. So, I couldn't really rank the non-licensed ones as being the worst. They're all unique minifigures, right? It wasn't like I could judge them. Mm-hmm. And the thing about this series was Lego Movie 2 was also a contender. Because I really wasn't a fan of Lego Movie 2.
Yeah.
Or this movie. But the thing about the Lego Movie 2 was, it had some decent minifigures, and it has the Wizard of Oz, and that immediately made it really good. It wouldn't be my number one, but it was up there because of that Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
So this series had 20 figures, larger one. I own two. I own the rainbow, brightly colored pastel person and the general. I've never used either of them. except for the one smoothie piece and the one cool hair piece that I use on figures. Otherwise, they don't get used. Though she does look like the Spider Queen from the Monsters minifigure series. So here's the, I'm going to tell your story. This was, it was this or the Monster minifigure series for worse. Because at the time, I really wanted all the figures in there. I was obsessed with it. Looking at it now, it's not that cool. Mm-hmm. But it had a couple, it had two decent figures that I would still want. It was like a trick-or-treater kid who was dressed as a Lego skeleton.
Oh, yeah, that one is a cool one.
I wanted that, and I didn't get it. But anyway, you know this...
You know what the other one was?
No, I don't remember.
Was it perhaps
this plant dude?
No, the plant dude was meh. Oh, it was a
side leg printing, my friend. It was the other cool head thing.
Yeah, but it was the Spectre that also saved it because it looked like a Dementor.
Oh, yeah, that is a cool one, too.
And back then, Harry Potter was dead. So it was a big thing. So anyway, here's the thing. The only figure I would pay to have is the Jay minifigure. Because he has a cool selfie stick and a cool scarf, but not for the actual minifigure. The Sensei Wu looks very good and accurate to the minifigures. But again, the only, like most of these minifigures I would only get for their accessories, which is not good. Mm-hmm. And what I feel about this is because at the time, I was heavy into Ninjago. I stopped watching it just because the series were worse and worse. But this didn't do justice because they kind of changed the animation style. And for me, it ruined Ninjago because it changed how all the figures had different heads.
Yeah.
So I really didn't like this movie and the figures by extension.
I have three of these figures. I have the brightly colored person. I don't know who it is. The same as you.
Girl.
Then I have the flashback Garmadon with the very long tie, forearms, really weird hair. That was pretty cool because I don't have a Garmadon, even if it's the weird Garmadon. And then I also have the angler fish soldier, who I sometimes use the head, the helmet thing, as a like actual angler fish, and I just put like either a black minifigure head or a red minifigure head inside, and it's like a little angler fish. That's pretty cool. But, yeah, I kind of have the same thoughts. Not a lot of these, I think, would be interesting to me. The only one that I think would be interesting that I also want is the, like, the general shark dude with the lava burns. I just think that's kind of a cool look, even if it's kind of, I don't know. And it's kind of cool how he has, like, a bunch of metals on his torso, but...
Yeah, I mean, for me, I own four of the minifigures out of the six in the Ninjago movie. Mm-hmm. Not the collectible minifigures, but for the Ninjago movie, I got the really small battle training set just because it was cheap, and I wanted to see what those new figures looked like and how all the helmets work physically because they changed the whole helmet design.
Oh, yeah, the double helmet.
Which is weird, and it doesn't really work just because... Right, it's smooth all around, but then you can't put hair on. It doesn't fit. So the bottom piece doesn't work. But I also got the Ninjago City set because it's inherently cool outside of all Ninjago context.
Okay, my least favorite series, which is interesting because this one actually scored kind of high, but it wasn't able to get into the top over 60%, but actually looking at it, I don't know, parts of it just seem kind of bland. My least favorite series, not a licensed series, is the, not the original, but series number 3. So, series 3, I'm just going to go through a rundown of all the figures that come with this. We have a tennis player, an alien with the cool side-eye thing, and a laser gun, a pilot with a cool
hat.
Leather jacket and a goggle thing, a snowboarder, a samurai with some pretty cool printing underneath his armor, a rapper dude with a boombox, a gorilla slash dude in a gorilla suit, a Native American chief, a race car driver, hula dancer, a mummy with a scorpion, fisherman with a fishing pole, an elf, like a woodland elf with a cool shield, sumo wrestler, like cyborg dude who has a robot arm and a
looks really
leg.
Cool.
Yeah, he's him or the elf is probably my two favorites in the series.
And then there's a baseball,
and then the baseball player.
Yeah, I kind of like the series. I do like the guy in the gorilla suit though. That's mm-hmm. Yeah, I like some of the figures. It's nostalgia for me, but I like the elf, the baseball player. I still saw him in like at Lego stores, they have a build a minifigure area.
Yeah.
It was at Legoland. They had remnants of this figure lying around right after the series ended. The fisherman. The mommy is cool. The pilot. The tennis player. I like a lot of these players. They had a bunch of cool molds for parts.
Yeah.
Like that bow, the baseball bat, the tennis racket. I see.
I like a couple of these figures. A couple of them kind of really stand out, but number one, just in comparison to, first of all, some of the more modern iterations of the collectible minifigure series. And then also at the same time, some of these figures weigh down the quote unquote greatness of others. And it's just overall not a great combination, in my opinion. I mean, to be fair, all series have really good figures and kind of bad figures. That's just inherent. There's, no offense, not such a thing as a perfect series. There's always something that we wish would be included and something that we wish hadn't been included. And I just think this one has, this series has more figures that either, they kind of, they're not very interesting compared to the interestingness, even though that's not a word, of some of the others. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say I think the blandness just comes from, I think it's the choice of colors and just the age. There's a lot less printing and extravagant accessories because by now these accessories aren't common. None of these are common, but you can get them in a set rather than just a collectible minifigure. All of these accessories.
Yeah.
So it's just less novel.
Yeah, that is my least favorite. Series 3 from 2011. And now back to you,
My favorite minifigure series is one of the most recent ones, DC Superheroes. It's a set of 16. Looking at it, I wish they put some Teen Titans in here. They had the room. But it's so good. I don't have any. I want them all. And it was probably good. Another contender was Batman movie series 2. But there was a lot of not nice stuff. But this one had almost everything here. I'm glad. And it's just so bright and happy and colorful and comics-based rather than TV show-based. It looks not happy, but fun. I think the only unremarkable figure is the Superman. The only new thing about him is the newspaper and the leg printing. Otherwise, all of these... Because that Batman is a rare original appearance Batman. It is a different cowl that's unique. So really, the Superman is the only character that could be kicked out and replaced by, I don't know, one of the villains that they've never done. It just screams happiness. You get some, the Huntress, a valuable addition to the Bat family. Simon Boz, who's a different Green Lantern. And if you are a really wealthy person or you went to a lot of Comic-Con, you would be able to get most of the Green Lanterns that exist in Lego form. They have a lot of them. There's a weird version of Cyborg that has an accurate helmet.
I'm gonna ask two questions. Number one, what is your favorite
out of this series?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. Meta Mr. Miracle, who's the colorful guy with the chains.
Yeah.
Is just what I have no context for him. I've seen him once in a Justice League show a really long time ago. He just looks really cool and colorful.
Yeah.
But my favorite would probably be that Jay Garrick Flash with the World War II hat, the Batmite, from who's really accurate to the Lego cartoon he was in. Or that the Aquaman, I'm less of a fan of the new portrayal in the movies. This is like a comic version of that. But I really like that Cyborg because it has that it has some really cool parts that
yeah.
you can mix in. I think the only thing I could ask of this series is just to add an extra row and put in the Teen Titans. So put a Teen Titans version of Cyborg, put in a classic Teen Titans version of Raven, a modern Teen Titans Robin, Teen Titans Go, Cyborg and Robin, modern Teen Titans, old Teen Titans, old Teen Titans Raven, and Kid Flash.
Very cool. My favorite one is the shape-shifting dude. It's the dude with the clear leg and the mud leg and then like the
That's Metamorpho. I'm sorry, I may have said it wrong earlier.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the dude who's in the chains. I'm talking about the dude who has like each of his limbs are like
he's cool.
I just like the look of him. I like how he has like a ghost leg, if you will. It's probably like water or I think it's water. I don't know.
It's so annoying because Lego has not given us the parts to make a full transparent minifigure. They did a bunch of trans blue legs and arms, but I don't think they've done, and heads, but they don't have hands or a torso. You can't make a hologram yet. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of the Brickpill Podcast.
If you want to help us continue with the show, please rate us on whatever podcasting platform you're using. It really helps. Also, please subscribe to our show so that it can be one of the first to know when we have a new show up.
Check us out on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcast. Just ask your smart home to play the Brickpill Podcast. Thanks for listening. Check in next week for the latest episode of LEGO Collectible Minifigures. And have a great time trying to find a box of licensed CMFs that haven't been thoroughly rifled through.